Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Ho, 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 and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck I Heart Christmastime Bryant.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yours is way better than mine. Mine sounded like an Irish priest.
Yeah, a leprechaun.
Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Terrible.
Top hey, of the Chuck, morning to you.
How's it going?
Great.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, this should be coming out right at Christmas.
Yeah. Well,
I hope
we're
so.
gonna plan for that. These so if it is. To all of you listening out there in podcast land, we hope you're having a great holiday season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope and, you're safe and well and with family. And we wish you all a Merry Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever you choose to celebrate.
Yeah, Tet.
What's that?
I think that's Buddhist New Year, maybe.
Oh, okay.
There's all sorts of stuff going on this time of year.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, but we chose to talk about Christmas. Chuck was brought up Baptist. I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we know, and it's a pretty interesting story, too. And if you're Jewish and you hate Christmas, you're going to stick around because you're going to love this one.
Right.
Yeah?
And you know what? Next year, we'll do one on Hanukkah.
Okay.
Deal.
Yeah. I actually know a significant amount about Hanukkah.
Well, let's do it next year, then. 2010.
Okay. All right.
Book it.
And we'll eventually do Kwanzaa, too?
Yeah, we'll do that in 2011, maybe. Or maybe we'll do both
next
year.
We'll do it like a holiday extravaganza.
Buddy, if we're still around in 2011, then we're either doing something right or something wrong.
Okay.
I haven't decided which.
Okay.
All right, Josh. Christmas.
Is that what we're calling it?
Nah, Christmas.
Okay, so Chuck, have you ever engaged in Christmas?
Yes, Josh, once a year. I've engaged in 38 of them.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
Thank you.
That was my intro.
All right.
Let's talk about this, man. It's so ubiquitous. There's people who are usually drunk, dressed up as Santa Claus, ringing bells, asking for donations.
Sure.
There's little kids like screeching in the middle of aisles in toy stores.
I want.
There are parents like elbowing one another in the face to get to that last.
That's mine.
Exactly.
Give me that beanie baby.
And then there's people who are punching Walmart greeters in the stomach for saying Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Yep. It's the most contentious time of the year.
Do you know where I am?
Where?
I'm at home. And I am shopping online.
Dude, it is the way to go.
Never again. And you know what? We go to Ohio. I just had the gifts shipped straight to my in-law's house.
Very smart.
No muss, no fuss.
Yeah, as long as you order early enough to make sure you're not spending the last week biting your nails hoping they arrive in time.
Tracking
but
packages.
I can tell you by experience that people are very forgiving if their gifts aren't there. All you do is you get a little card, you write it inside, like, you're getting this, or you print out a picture of it.
Right, right.
It's like, it's coming, I promise.
And a
like,
coupon fine. For a free back rub.
I did do coupons once.
That's
one
so
year,
lame.
I was so broke, I had a friend take a picture of me, standing there with my pockets turned out, and me going like, eh.
Just last year?
And it's like, no, it wasn't last year, it was like 5 years ago. And that was that. Like, everybody kept it. No one turned it in. They just liked their tickets so
That's
much.
That's sweet. I made birdhouses one year when I was broke.
That's
in college.
Awesome.
They were good, too.
Sure, I'll bet.
They were nice.
All right, so let's talk about Christmas. How did this jam get started?
Well, Josh, the roots of Christmas are varied, to say the least. You cannot
riotously varied?
You cannot point to one single thing and say, Christmas was born out of this. Jesus' birthday on December 25th.
You can't even point to the aspects of Christmas and say that each one is born out of this.
No, you can't.
Basically, Christmas is a bunch of different groups that are from antiquity brought together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like most of these early versions of Christmas, I guess if you even want to call it that, were festivals that marked the winter solstice.
Right.
In Europe mainly.
And Rome.
Yeah, true.
Rome had a big one called Saturnalia.
German pagans.
Uh-huh.
They honored Odin, who was a god who flew over settlements at night, blessing houses and cursing others.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like coal and switches or treats to me.
Uh-huh.
So that was a pagan god.
Yeah, Norse.
Germany. Yeah.
Germanic.
Yep.
And then also you have the Druids, who like to contribute things like garland and holly to the whole mix. Kissing under the mistletoe actually is apparently a euphemism for some of the sexual practices that went on during the Druidic winter solstice festivals.
People probably didn't think they were going to hear those words in the Christmas podcast.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Oh, yeah. Christmas was rife with sexuality, and one could even say perversion.
Drinking early on. And just crazy parties in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Rome?
Yeah, the Druids were big into it, too, apparently, or the Celts.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But in Rome, they celebrated the pretty raucous festival called the Saturnalia from December 17th to 24th. Is that not how you pronounce it?
No, it is.
Okay. I thought you were going to correct me.
Huh.
And that honors Saturn, the god of agriculture. And they had a big carnival, and they feasted and gambled and gave gifts and caroused and got drunk.
Wasted for days.
And this is Rome.
Yeah.
No one partied like they did.
They also apparently love to stuff Jews with food until they were like so full that they could barely move, and then make them race each other naked through the streets for everyone else's enjoyment.
So there's Christmas.
Uh-huh. these are the roots of it. And then, of course, you have Christianity, which effectively took it over in the 4th century A.D.
Yeah, they say we need our own holiday to rival all these winter solstice shenanigans.
Right. The 4th century A.D. really, or C.E., depending on who you are, really kind of changed things. This is when Christianity stepped it up a bit. That's when St. Augustine was supposedly issuing all these proclamations. Basically, the church just made some moves, and it worked.
Yep, and they chose December 25th as the day of the Feast of the Nativity, is what it was originally called.
And since they said, hey, pagans, you come over to our religion. We've got something over here. It celebrates the birth of our Savior and all that. But you can still throw down.
Right.
This is going to be the last day, much like Ash Wednesday.
Right.
Fat Tuesday. Mardi Gras leads up to Ash Wednesday, and the party stops on Ash Wednesday, but they go crazy ahead of time. Very much the same thing. And it continued like this for many, many centuries.
Yeah, and initially it wasn't, it still wasn't the Big Daddy. I mean, Easter and Good Friday still ruled.
Sure.
And the Feast of the Nativity was kind of the lesser of the three.
Right.
And the Puritans had some problems with this, though.
They did. Pretty much any group that was very doer about religion and were Christians outlawed or banned Christmas festivities because
Oliver Cromwell banned it.
Yeah, he did when
he
took over.
He stopped Christmas in 1645.
Yep. And the Puritans in New England outlawed it from
1659 to 1681 in Boston.
Yeah.
No Christmas.
None. And actually Cromwell had soldiers patrolling the streets to make sure there was no revelry whatsoever, and were told to arrest anybody they found celebrating Christmas when he outlawed it. And still today, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christians, Christian sect, don't celebrate Christmas because they clearly see it as, or they see it as a clearly pagan holiday. And that all of these roots have all these pagan roots have come together and just got a Christian stamp of approval, but it's really just pagan.
Right.
Yeah.
So, let's move forward a little bit in our time machine to the 18th and 19th century. This is when things start to calm down a little bit.
Okay.
And it becomes a little bit more like the Christmas we know and love, including 1846 when Queen Victoria's German husband, Albert, Prince Albert, he introduced a Christmas tree to the castle, and they essentially got their picture made in front of it. It was an engraving at the time, of course.
They had to stand there for 4 weeks.
Yeah, but it was their children and them in front of the tree, and that's kind of may have been the first Christmas card.
Uh-huh.
Like we do today.
That's nice.
Do you send Christmas cards?
No.
I don't either.
I'm such a slacker.
I've never sent Christmas cards.
Yeah.
So don't be offended, friends who listen. None of my friends listen to this, but when I don't send Christmas cards, I just don't do it. I haven't done it. I'll do that one day.
Okay, so Chuck, let's talk about gift giving.
Okay.
In 2007, Consumer Reports said that they issued an article in November of 2007 mm-hmm. that said 12 million Americans were still paying off Christmas from the year prior.
Wow.
Almost a year later, 12 million Americans were still making payments on their credit card gifts.
So in addition to hearing, is that Santa's sleigh and jingle bells I hear, Josh? Flying overhead?
I think you're hallucinating.
Am I?
I don't hear anything.
In addition to that, do you know what I hear?
What?
It's the sound of credit card machines. That's old, but yeah, the swipe of the credit card.
Beep.
Over and over. Thank you. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
It is decidedly commercial now.
And one of the reasons why people are still paying it off is we spend an ass load of money on Christmas presents and decorations. $8 billion on lights alone.
Nuts.
Listen to this, dude. In 1998, the National Retail Federation, which likes to come out with their annual forecast of how much Americans are going to spend on holiday gifts and just anything that has to do with the holidays, they forecasted $173 billion in 1998.
Wow.
This was the height of the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was rich back then.
That's true.
Everybody.
I wasn't.
Everybody.
You weren't rich either.
Shut up. 2009, this year, the National Retail Federation projects that we will spend $437.6 billion.
Wow.
In a recession.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't drop that much on Christmas.
We're going to spend $500 billion on Christmas in a recession.
I know.
That's a bad year.
I know. And you know what? I think they've said that during recessions even, sometimes you go out of your way to make Christmas special because you've pinched all year long. So that might have something to do with
you've
it.
You've done what?
Because you pinched your pennies all year long.
Pinched all year long?
Yes.
I didn't hear that correct.
Okay.
Father's Day is coming. A day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey everybody, it's time to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has absolutely everything you could possibly need to build whatever website you're trying to. You can host video content and organize your entire video library, plus showcase it on beautiful video pages. You can use analytics to grow your business and learn where your site visits and sales are coming from. What else, Chuck?
Well, buddy, if you got merch, then you can sell it on Squarespace. You can easily sell custom merch and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. Design your products, and production, inventory, and shipping are all handled for you, saving you time and money.
Yeah, and if your business is appointment-based, you can accept appointments on your Squarespace website. You can offer online or in-person private sessions, workshops, and group classes, and Squarespace provides everything you need to manage your schedule, accept secure payments, and send automatic reminders, all in a beautifully showcased site.
So just go to squarespace.com/stuff and you're going to get a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
But gift giving, Josh.
What is this? Where did it come from?
Well, like I said, a lot of these pagan rituals, they gave gifts, but
almost all of them did, yeah, strangely enough.
But the roots are generally traced to the Bible. And Jesus being born, and the three kings, mm-hmm. The magi that traveled to Bethlehem with their three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Right, and actually Eastern Orthodox Christians tend to celebrate Three Kings Day on January 6th, which is the day they think that the magi arrived with their gifts.
Yeah, okay, because it took them a while, sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. Everybody's riding mules back then, man. It took forever.
So things kind of progressed like this for a while, and then in 1820, Do you know what first appeared, Josh? Stores began placing Christmas-themed ads in newspapers and magazines.
Yeah, and
for
even,
the first time.
Even before then, though, Macy's stayed open, I think, for the first time until midnight on Christmas Eve in 1867.
Yeah, that was after that, but yeah.
I thought you said 1920.
1820.
Oh, 18. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
right.
losing my mind here.
But yeah, in 1867, they stayed open for those last-minute Christmas shoppers.
Yeah. So by 1867, it was already a frenzy.
Yep. Should we talk about Boxing Day real quick?
Sure.
Just cover that for all the Brits out there.
Let's get the sidebar out of the way.
If you're in England, Australia, Canada, or New Zealand, Christmas does not end on the 25th.
No, it continues on to the 26th,
yeah,
called
Boxing Day. So what is that, Josh?
Well, apparently it grew out of a tradition where servants who had to work on Christmas all day, serving the rich families of New England or New Zealand, Australia, and Great Britain and Canada, they were given the next day off, the 26th, to have their own Christmas, their own servant version of Christmas.
Yeah.
And apparently that was taken over by the rich fat cats as well.
Right.
So there's a Boxing Day and Christmas, I take it?
Yeah.
In those countries?
That's the way I understand it.
Wow. Chuck.
Josh.
Let's keep going on with this origin stuff. This stuff is very interesting.
It is.
Can we talk about St. Nick for a second?
Yeah.
So you know there really was a St. Nick, right?
I do now.
Yes, you do.
School me.
He was actually canonized in the, I think, 19th century, but he was born in 270 CE in Turkey. He was a Mediterranean dude.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Turkish, was he?
He was Turkish, and I think he died in 340 CE,
okay.
So he was old.
Right.
He was worshipped by a group of sailors who formed a cult around him, the St. Nicholas cult, or the Nicholas cult before he was canonized.
A group of sailors?
A group of sailors just idolized this guy, like literally.
Right.
So these sailors actually, I guess, sailed to Turkey and said, we're going to take St. Nick's bones. They're being kept in a shrine in Turkey.
Bring his bones out.
Exactly. Okay. Sure. Or they went in and got them themselves, one of the two.
Right.
And then they take it back to, they take the bones back to Italy. And place them in a shrine. And when they do so, they displace this pagan idol known as the Grandmother.
Right.
Capital T, capital G.
Mm-hmm.
The Grandmother had a reputation for placing gifts in children's stockings.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's
so
sweet.
St. Nick, who was a real person,
yeah,
was a Christian martyr, I believe.
Okay.
Takes over this lady's shrine.
Gotcha.
And the association with gifts... And him giving gifts, and even gifts in stockings, her reputation goes to him.
Wow, so it originally started with a woman.
Uh-huh, in 1087.
Wow.
That's when the sailors went. We're not done yet here,
okay.
My friend.
This is
Santa
good.
Claus has a very long and circuitous route, but it's amazing how it all comes together.
I'm roasting chestnuts, by the way, while I'm listening to this.
So because the Nicholas cult gave each other gifts,
uh-huh,
right? And since they were known for giving gifts, they were one of the more popular cults around. So when they spread north,
uh-huh,
people were like, hey, you're kind of cool. Let's hang out. And they converted. They were a very powerful cult.
Right.
And when they moved into Germany or the Germanic areas... Odin, remember you mentioned him earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
Long white beard,
sure.
Flew over houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus, as we know it today, is the collision of Odin and St. Nick.
Wow.
And the Grandmother, technically.
I knew it had something to do with Germany.
Right.
I remember hearing that once.
So Santa Claus was, I think, a Dutch word for this conception.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't until 1809 that Washington Irving wrote a satire of Dutch culture.
Right.
And said... he used the name Santa Claus, the Dutch name, which introduced the name to the English. A few decades after that, a guy named Thomas Nast, an illustrator, starts uh-huh drawing his conception of Santa Claus, adds the North Pole, the elves, the workshop,
sure,
all that stuff. And then finally, Santa Claus, who we know and love today, the jolly fat man with the red coat and the
right
white trimming. All
flying
of these
reindeer
things have accumulated up to this point.
Uh-huh.
And then our image, our iconic image of Santa Claus, was thanks to an illustrator who was contracted by the Coca-Cola Company in 1931.
And scene.
There's Santa Claus.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
What a cool history.
I think so, too.
And slightly disappointing.
A little bit.
Where's the magic?
Yeah.
There's no magic?
No.
All right.
Okay, so go ahead, Chuck. I've talked way too much for now.
I guess we should talk about trees a little bit. Evergreen trees and garlands were used to decorate symbols of eternal life by everyone from ancient Chinese to Hebrews and Egyptians. And European pagans even worshiped these trees.
Yeah, remember we talked about the Druids and the sexual proclivities?
Right. So fast forward a little bit when Western Germans used fir trees to represent the Tree of Paradise in plays about Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
They decorated these trees with apples and wafers and stuff. And that got more and more popular until they were introduced in North America in the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started decorating them with mistletoe and holly and stuff like that.
And like you said, they really took off thanks to Prince Albert and that engraving.
Yeah, and Christmas lights, right. Clearly, which were introduced in 1890, or in the 1890s.
And also, as I understand it, gingerbread men?
Yeah.
That is based on a Saturnalia tradition from the ancient Romans where they would eat human-shaped biscuits. Part
human
of the festivities.
Human-shaped biscuits.
What, yeah, think about that's what a gingerbread man is.
Yeah. I love ginger cookies. Do you like those?
Yeah.
Are you with us?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
I'm having trouble enunciating during this one.
I know. It's strange.
Huh. So, Chuck, I think we've reached the big finish, the finale.
Was Jesus born on December 25th?
Uh-huh.
Is that what we're going to talk about?
And also, do you want to pop in two quick facts?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So where does the word Christmas come from?
It comes from Mars.
It comes from an old English word or term, Christ's Mass.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or put together Christmas. And do you know where Xmas came from?
Saturn.
No. X was the standard abbreviation, a capital X was the standard abbreviation to represent Christ. So really, it's not taking Christ out of Christmas when you say Xmas. It's
just
an abbreviated version of Christmas.
Did not know that, because a lot of people take offense when you write Xmas.
I know, people get really riled up about this stuff.
Yeah, they do.
They just need to drink a little eggnog, right?
Yeah, with rum.
Right. Delicious rum.
So, Josh, let's talk about December 25th, and was Jesus really born on December 25th?
There is a 1 in 365 or 1 in 366
right.
chance, depending on whether or not it was leap year, that he was born on December 25th.
Yeah, because the Bible doesn't say that Jesus was born on December 25th.
No, and one thing I learned from this wonderful article written by our colleague Sarah Dowdy, who hosts Stuff You Missed in History Class, is that the early church didn't care much about the nativity, about Jesus being born. There was no celebration. It didn't pick up, like we said, until the 4th century A.D., right?
Right, right.
So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of effort made to really date his birth early on.
Yeah. There's some clues, though, that it was probably not on December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
In the chapter of Luke, they say that the shepherds are keeping watch over their flock by night.
Day and night.
Well, no, it just says their flock by night in the Bible.
Whatever.
Don't challenge me on the Bible, buddy. I know my Bible.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us, to crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey everybody, did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
But this suggests that it may have been actually in the spring, during spring lambing.
Right.
Because that is the only time of year where they do keep watch day and night.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just during the day.
So day and night.
In that case, yes, Josh.
Okay.
And you're waiting on that.
So this one Bible scholar, his first name was Dionysius. I can't remember his last name. He calculated that, I think he was the one that calculated December 25th.
Yes, Josh. Chronographers, here's another theory here, that chronographers reckon that the world was created on the spring equinox, and then 4 days later, on March 25th, light was created.
Because
mm-hmm. the earth was created, then God created light, according to the Bible in Genesis.
Right.
And since the existence of Jesus signaled the beginning of a new era of Christianity, or creation, the chronographers assume that Jesus' conception would have fallen on March 25th, which 9 months after that would be, bing, bing, December 25th.
Right.
Which would be his birthday.
Yeah. There's a modern Bible scholar who has gone a little broader, trying to hammer out the actual year.
Mm-hmm.
And by his reckoning, thanks to the presence of Herod, King Herod was still alive.
Yeah.
He dated it back and figured out that Jesus was probably born in 4 BCE.
Okay.
4 BC.
Gotcha.
So not too far off as far as the year goes.
It's not bad.
And again, we should remind people that this December 25th thing was largely an attempt to steal the winter solstice from the pagans to convert them over to Christianity.
Right.
So no one knows when Jesus was born.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not saying all this to poo-poo Christmas or the fact that Jesus may or may not have been born on December 25th. None of that matters.
No.
The origin doesn't matter. What matters is that is the day that we celebrate it. And all over the world, there are different traditions. Some people open their gifts on Christmas Eve. Some people do it Christmas Day.
Some people don't do Christmas at all.
Some people don't celebrate it at all.
You know there's other religions out there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Have you heard about these?
Yeah, and we're going to cover these at some other point, but this one is about Christmas.
Yeah, and if you think about it, from the true origins of Christmas, uh-huh. all of these disparate cultures being brought together and yeah. molded into this, sure, you know, it was done surreptitiously and a little sneakily,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of reminds you, or at the very least it explains how this whole season that's based around Christmas in the United States kind of touches everybody.
Sure.
So that's Christmas, Chuck.
Wait,
do we have any listener mail today?
We
oh,
do.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Christmas, you can type that in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. Which then, I guess, leads us to listener mail.
Indeed, Josh. We have a couple of requests, which we don't often honor here on the show.
Right.
But we're going to this year.
We love turning down people's requests.
Because I feel bad for people that are born right around Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I do, because that just stinks. So, hey, Josh, Chuck and Jerry. Chucker and Jerry. I have a sad Christmas story followed by a huge favor. My story starts almost 24 years ago, the day after Christmas, 26, 1985. That was the day my husband, Ian, was born. The unfortunate timing of his birth has caused a ton of bitterness over the years. With all the gloom that comes after the presents are open, we are faced with the fact that Christmas is gone for a whole year, and then it's his birthday. What a letdown.
Right.
He absolutely hates his birthday as a result and often refers to it as the most disappointing day of the year. That's awful. He is constantly plagued by the yearly Christmas birthday present, of course, having his birthday gifts wrapped in Christmas paper. Just last year, he received a birthday gift with a candy cane taped to the front of it. That's awful. And he has never even had a birthday party in his whole life because no one ever wants to go out the day after Christmas. He's a complete afterthought. So here's my huge favor. He is a huge fan of you guys, and I mean huge. He watches your live video cast every week. He must be a big fan then. He watches the webcast?
Yeah.
And listens to the podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. And he also does his best to spread the word of Stuff You Should Know to everyone, including me. So, by the way, now I'm hooked, is what she says. So I'm hoping you could make this the best birthday ever from Ashley, the birthday fairy. Ashley, we're going to give your husband a huge happy birthday here.
Happy birthday, Ian.
Happy birthday, Ian. We're sorry you were born on the 26th.
Yeah.
Be glad you were born at all. That's what I say. But I'm sorry, dude, that stinks. And we're sending you, like, a T-shirt or something. She wanted a signed T-shirt. But
got it with a candy cane tape to it.
Yeah, we should totally do that.
Yeah, we should.
So, Ian, you got something coming your way, but it's not going to be there by the 26th.
But happy birthday anyway, Ian.
Josh, we have another one.
Okay.
This is from Karen. I just wanted to ask for a huge favor. My partner, Tristan, is a big fan of your show. In fact, thanks to you guys, he now has opinions on a range of subjects, and it drives me crazy. He turns 30 on Christmas Eve, and that is today, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to make it a little special by surprising him with 30 gifts. And it would freak him out if he was listening to your podcast, and you wish him a happy birthday. Could you help me out? That would be awesome. So, Tristan, today actually is your birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tristan.
Are you freaked out?
30 gifts.
I know. 30 at
Lucky 30. Dawn.
I know.
Yeah.
So, hopefully you're freaked out there in Australia, Tristan. It's Christmas
Tristan,
Eve. Tristan.
We're talking about you right now,
Tristan.
Yeah.
And Josh, beyond that, do you want to say a few words here?
I do, actually. I want to wish my darling 5 foot, 1.5 inch, half Okinawan girlfriend, Yumi.
Is that how tall she is?
Uh-huh. Happy birthday, too. Her birthday is December 30th, so she's one of those poor, afflicted people born around Christmas time.
Happy birthday, Shortcake.
Yeah, happy birthday, Yumi.
You call her Shortcake?
I call her Sugar Lump.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
So, Josh, here we are, close to the end of the year, and we'll go ahead and say our salutations here on Christmas Eve to everyone. Raise a toast of eggnog, Stuff You Should Know Army.
Yeah.
We're proud of you guys. We're proud of each other. Jerry, we had a great year. It's been awesome. Great response.
Yeah, it has been a really big year, hasn't it?
It has. It's been huge.
Awesome.
And we feel great about it, and we feel awesome about the Stuff You Should Know Army coming together and being so involved and donating to Kiva. And
tens of thousands of dollars donated to Kiva.
Really cool.
That's good stuff.
As Josh says on the Kiva thing, what the finest people that have never met.
That's close.
That's what I feel like we are.
Yeah. Well, thanks to all of you out there in SYSK land. We hope that your sugar plum dreams are all fulfilled.
Yes.
That you're all tucked in tight in your warm beds with somebody you love and who loves you. And we'll see you in 2010 after two more episodes. And we will see to it that we keep you as informed and entertained in 2010 as we did in 2009.
We ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Happy holidays.
Is that it? Is that how we're going to end this? Is that heartfelt enough?
Yep.
Okay.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safer metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees, and the Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system keeps cooking supplies handy. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. So get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.